From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, March 20th. I'm Abby Larico. When Brad Dean was a kid growing up in central Illinois, his first vacation was to St. Louis. Now he's the guy in charge of marketing the region to visitors around the world.
We have a lot of growing and a lot of opportunity, and I didn't come here to maintain the status quo.
The new CEO of Explore St. Louis shares his vision for the future of St. Louis tourism. Coming up after this news with my colleague Jonathan All on The Gateway.
This is The Gateway on St. Louis Public Radio. A new report released by Washington University says the school acted within its rights when campus police broke up student protests against the war in Gaza last April. More than 100 people were arrested during one protest after students tried to set up encampments on campus. WashU has since banned camping and sleeping outdoors on campus grounds. Andrew De La Salas is a senior at WashU and was one of the student organizers. He says the university needs to do a better job of supporting students.
A policy on tents isn't just a policy on tents in the name of student safety or something like that. It's reflective of a much larger crackdown on student activism.
The report says the university should work to streamline policies around student demonstrations and better communicate with the public. Two people are facing misdemeanor charges for their actions during that protest. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman has more on the allegations.
Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein and WashU grad student Jerron Hicks were among more than 100 people arrested on the evening of April 27th. They are the only two charged criminally. Both refused to leave campus after multiple warnings from WashU police. Stein allegedly kicked an officer during the arrest. Hicks allegedly refused to be handcuffed or stand up and walk away. Hicks is also accused of spitting at a WashU lieutenant in January 2025. The St. Louis County Prosecutor's Office says university police asked for charges against 19 people. The other cases may be filed in municipal court. Prosecutor Melissa Price-Smith says in a statement the charges are not about free speech or the war in Gaza, but are the accusations that can be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. I'm Rachel Littman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Strong winds and dry conditions sparked hundreds of wildfires in Missouri in the last few days. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports this is a particularly active year for wildfires so far.
The Missouri Department of Conservation says its staff fought more than 80 wildfires across the state last week. No one was injured, but fire did destroy 20 homes and other property. Fire Program Coordinator Ben Webster says Missouri has already burned half the acreage the state usually sees in a year.
We are seeing a more severe, more of an extreme weather trend right now in Missouri that we don't see every year. You know, we haven't seen this sort of thing, you know, for the last 8 to 10 years.
The National Weather Service says conditions still favor fire. Officials say the public should avoid starting fires in the coming days. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
The highly invasive longhorn tick is in the St. Louis area. A team of ecologists from Washington University first documented the parasite in St. Louis County last year. The ticks had previously been found in rural areas of Missouri. Solny Aldal-Stenson is a senior scientist at WashU. She says that her team's discovery is cause for concern.
You know, we're in a very populated area, and so a large population of longhorn ticks here could also not only pose risks for animal health, but especially human health in the region.
Ticks are the primary disease-causing vector species in the United States. Aldal-Stenson's lab recently received a grant that will allow them to continue research on longhorn ticks this spring. She was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. A measure to regulate homeschooling in Illinois continued gaining significant opposition yesterday, Alex Degman reports.
The Capitol was sweltering. People packed the hallways, but they weren't chanting or shouting. Instead, the sound of hundreds of smartphone speakers filled the air. Their owners, listening to a committee hearing from inside an at-capacity room they were shut out of. Elizabeth Willie of Springfield is one of nearly 50,000 people who filed an opposition slip.
This bill has so many things in it, and it is extremely vague in what they've worded.
It requires homeschool parents to work with the state on things like curriculum, attendance, and vaccinations. Supporters say it'll crack down on neglectful parents and could save lives, but opponents say it's government overreach. The measure passed out of committee and now heads to the full floor. I'm Alex Degman.
A measure to restrict police use of no-knock warrants statewide is making its way through the Illinois Capitol. The Anjanette Young Act doesn't prohibit the tactic, but it puts limitations in place. Chicago police got the wrong address when they raided Young's home in 2019. In a committee room full of police chiefs yesterday, Young told lawmakers it's time to hold law enforcement accountable.
We want to feel safe in our homes. We want to trust that law enforcement will do their jobs without violating our rights. We want real accountability, not empty apologies and payouts.
The bill says no-knock warrants could only be served between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Officers would need to wear visible badges, and they need to wait at least 30 seconds before entering, among other changes. It passed a House committee and now heads to the floor. The U.S. Department of Justice has opened a wide-ranging investigation into Illinois' treatment of people with developmental disabilities in public institutions. Capital News Illinois and ProPublica reported that the Illinois Department of Human Services has notified employees of the impending Justice Department probe, according to a letter obtained by the news agencies. The federal investigation will examine whether the state provides adequate resources and services for community living and protects residents from harm. The two Illinois news agencies reported these as a problem in a series in 2022. State officials expect the DOJ to complete its investigation by early fall. I'm Jonathan Aull. This is The Gateway from St. Louis Public Radio.
Explore St. Louis is the organization that works to get people around the world to do just that. Explore St. Louis as a destination for special events, business conferences, or their next vacation. Brad Dean took over as president and CEO of the visitors organization this month following the early retirement of Kitty Ratcliffe. I sat down with Dean, who says the local tourism industry is on the rebound.
It certainly faced some challenges, but we're in a good space in that we're growing. We're seeing some substantial growth over the past 12 to 18 months. And while we're not quite back to pre-pandemic levels, this could be the year where we get there. And I think the future is bright, Abby. When you think about just the numbers alone, the last full year of travel and tourism, almost 24 million people visited the St. Louis region and generated $5.7 billion of economic impact. That said, we have a lot of growing and a lot of opportunity, and I didn't come here to maintain the status quo, so I'm hoping that we're going to be able to deliver record numbers and unprecedented job growth in the near future.
Speaking of trends, crime is down in St. Louis. That tracks with national trends as well, yet crime and the perception of crime in St. Louis is still a really big deal here. The old saying goes that perception is often reality, right?
Well, I think you touched on the key point that we have to keep in mind. It's really two issues. There's the issue of public safety, and then there's a perception surrounding that. First and foremost, we can't put our heads in the sand and ignore the problem. We have to be vigilant about what we do in terms of ensuring that every neighborhood, and particularly the downtown, are safe and welcoming and clean. And that also goes a long way towards building the brand of St. Louis. Part of our role was to make sure we're talking about this honestly, accurately, and doing what we can to support those in law enforcement and public services that are making it a safer community. At the same time, we have to be cognizant about what we say that extends outward. And it's interesting because when I was doing my research about St. Louis, the most negative things I heard about our community came from residents of the community. Now, not necessarily out of animosity or hatred. I think it's just a sense of maybe frustration and disappointment of what could be versus what is. And so I think what we got to do is balance this and address the real problems, not ignore them. At the same time, we have to also be cognizant and recognize that the issues we're facing are not unique to St. Louis. And if you look at the numbers, we're certainly not an unsafe community. And that's not the way our visitors think. But we have to talk about ourselves in perhaps a more positive light of not just what's happened in the past, but what's taking place today, and encourage people to know that when you come here, we value your safety, but then we got to deliver on that promise.
Your most recent role was CEO of Discover Puerto Rico. You also worked for 20 years as president and CEO of the Myrtle Beach Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Since you've been in St. Louis, you've seen our weather is very different. Any chance, like, you're going to bring some tropical vibes? I mean, are we going to see a beach on the Mississippi Riverfront? How do you market the geographic location that is this chaotic, beautiful Midwest climate.
I grew up in the Midwest, so I was kind of used to this, although I've been out of this weather for a long time. Here's what I think we can do is, while the weather may not be our strong suit, keep in mind the number of indoor attractions and experiences and the great gastronomy. And I think what we can present is a healthy brand and alternatives that you can enjoy St. Louis regardless of the weather outdoors. So I can't rely on beaches and sunshine here, but what we have is the culture, the history, the architecture, not to mention some great music, entertainment, and sports, and that's our strength. And so this is a city where you can smile and have fun, whether it's raining, snowing, or sunny.
That was part of my conversation with Brad Dean, the new head of Explore St. Louis. I also asked Dean about local infrastructure improvements, marketing St. Louis to visitors of all backgrounds, and where he took his Caribbean native wife in the middle of a snowstorm to convince her to move here. Listen to our conversation on St. Louis on the Air today at noon and 7 p.m. on our website or wherever you listen to podcasts. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.